Of what might happen to you as a result of making these revelations?
Oh, yes. I probably am a dead man already.
They think they're living in a police state.
Once upon a time, there were these people in Europe called pilgrims, and they were afraid of being persecuted. So they all got in a boat and sailed to the New World where they wouldn't have to be scared ever again.
I loves my gun,
and I don't mean no money like I work at Walmart and make no money.
So enjoy yourself, or I'll come looking for you. There and veg out in front of your TV and enjoy what these fine people are giving you, which is maximum entertainment. You understand what I'm saying about? And don't you ever, ever, ever forget what it's like without TV. Because before TV, people just sat and played with themselves all night.
I loves my gun. Loves my gun.
Recorded Friday the 13th, 2012. Ladies and gentlemen, Poison Squirrels, Iron Angel coming back at you with another episode of Rangers A to Z. Yeah, it's probably a little more gung-ho intro than I usually do, but eh, what the heck. It's Friday the 13th, come on. This episode is going to be on Rant Radio this weekend on Saturday the 14th, which is nearly as horrible as Friday the 13th, and we'll repeat again as needed down the road. I want to thank Sumerian for letting us be on Rant Radio. If you get a chance, go to their website. That's rantradio.ca. Click on the donate tab if you get a chance. Help Sumerian keep everything on the air. Help us keep him going and keep Rant Radio going, all that good stuff. If you get a chance, stop in and see us at rangers.com. That's R4NGER5.com. You can find back episodes of Rangers A to Z there. You can find Rangers Bravo, Rangers Radio, a whole bunch of combat shorts, Back and Beyond, Storm the Wire, and a whole bunch of other stuff that I can't remember off the top of my head. Any rate, off we go. This episode is Episode 8, Superstition. Ooh, that timed out really good with the background music. Love when that happens. Background music today is a mixture of Chain Monkey, actually. Sean OCD Theme is the track. Or actually OTD, not OCD. We've also got some Poesis, Moonlight on Sand, and Stand Back, I'm Going to Try Science, in reference to the XKCD cartoon of the same name. We got some music from The Culprits coming up. Let's see. I've got some reader mail coming in occasionally. Some folks actually claim I'm somewhat humorous. They've probably been drinking. That's okay. I don't mind if you drink. Listen to the show. Just drink responsibly. You know, drink some water before you go to bed. Don't drink and drive. Don't drink and try and split firewood. Don't drink and run a chainsaw. Don't drink and juggle chainsaws. All that kind of stuff. It's warm out today. Things are beautiful. Weather's been a little weird here, but weather's been a little weird everywhere. 4 feet of hail out in Texas, blowing up into drifts. That's kind of exciting. That seems like a great time to go surfing, doesn't it? Anyway, how does that all tie into superstition? Well, let's start with the weather. A lot of people have this this thing going on. Oh, the weather's been really weird lately. Well, you know, I started doing some looking. I thought it had been. We've had some record highs, we've had some record rainfalls, we've had a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But as I started looking, I realized, you know what? We've only got weather records that go back a little over 120 years. There are some documentational records that don't have as exacting of instruments as we do, that talk about incredible highs or incredible lows throughout history, that talk about all kinds of weird weather phenomena. And people basically just kind of got all freaked out. You know, there's a lot of talk about global warming. When I was growing up as a kid, we had all kinds of talk about the coming ice age back in the 70s. Oh, that was going to be the ice age. We were all going to freeze to death before we were 50. Well, you know, I'm getting kind of close, and now they're telling me it's getting warm. I'm not sure. The science is kind of mixed. It's real hard to say. I'm not here to say either way whether it's getting warmer, getting colder, getting stupider, getting wiser. I don't know. That's really up to you to figure out, isn't it? I'm not a meteorologist. If you're looking at me for a weather report, you're screwed! But at any rate, a lot of people have these superstitions about the weather. And some of them are justified, some of them are not. I was taught a bunch of really weird little tricks as a kid that I'm going to pass along to you tonight, today, whenever you listen to this. The first one is telling time. Early or late in the day, you can hold your arm straight out away from your body with your palm facing toward you. The width of four fingers across the knuckle is 1 hour in the sky at the length of your arm. This is relatively consistent from person to person. Once in a great while, you'll find somebody's got really narrow hands or really long arms or something like that, and it won't be real accurate. But on the whole, you stack your hands up, and you can figure out, oh, it's, you know, 3 hours to sundown, or it's 3 hours after sunup. If you know about when that time is, you've got a rough estimate of time. Each finger, of course, is 15 minutes. So if you've got two hands and two fingers, you got about 2.5 hours of time till sundown. And then about, depending on where you are, if you're in the woods, you've probably only got another 15, 20 minutes before it gets dark. If you're out in the open plains, you've probably got another hour of decent twilight to make camp and get settled in for the night. Same thing goes with sun up. You know, you can basically use from the bottom of the sun down to the horizon if you have a rough guess about what time the sun comes up. And it's not a bad idea to kind of keep track of roughly what time the sun comes up. You don't have to have the exact minute, but if you know it comes up somewhere around 7:30 this time of year, you can kind of go out and guesstimate. And that way, if you lose your watch or forgot to bring a watch or if your watch died or your phone doesn't get signal and you can't get a decent time or what have you, if you don't have any tech with you, you've got kind of a rough guesstimate. Midday, it doesn't work quite so easily because you end up having to stack up a whole bunch of hands and it just gets all confused and kind of screwed up and messed up and that sort of thing. So that won't necessarily work. One of the other superstitions that I cannot confirm this works everywhere. I can say that where I live, this does work. There's a number of signs in nature that tell you it's about to rain. In our area, the robins sing a very specific song, and as I've traveled around the country, I've discovered that this seems to be fairly consistent, but it's not the same song. I can't repeat it, I can't sing it, I can't do bird noises, I can't do, you know, hardly any neat sound effects or anything like that, but... And it's perfect that Moonlight on Sand from Poesis comes in the background, because when I was out in the desert is when I actually was able to confirm that, yes, this does happen. The rain came on out there kind of suddenly, and the birds had started singing about 45 minutes before this different odd song I had never heard before. And I asked my buddy about it, who lived out there. I says, what's that song mean? He says, I didn't really notice the birds were even singing, because a lot of people don't. Particularly if you live in the city, the bird noises kind of get drowned out by the other city sounds, and so you don't really notice they're even there. And sure enough, shortly thereafter, the storm clouds rolled in fast and hard, pushed a little bit of a dust storm up in front of them, and then we got just pelted with mud rain. So I knew what the bird song was there, and then later, when we were camping out in the mountains... up in Globe, Arizona, I heard it again and said, guys, it's going to rain, you know, here in the next hour. Oh, it's not going to rain. And they started looking off on the horizon and went, ooh, wow, those clouds look kind of scary. I'm telling you, man, it's going to rain. And so we battened down the hatches and stuff. And we're telling the other campers around her, oh, it's not going to rain. The weatherman said there's not going to be rain. We got an inch and a half of rain in about 45 minutes, which is pretty torrential. And when you're clinging tenaciously to the side of a mountain, you kind of notice it running past. So start paying attention to things around you. Eventually, you'll figure out what your local bird song is. Here, it's really the robins. Those are the ones that start it. They're the first ones that will start singing. I don't know how they know. I'm sure there's some scientific reason to it. I don't know what it is. I can't explain it. I just know that it does work. Is it a superstition? Yes, probably. But a lot of our superstitions are based on some reality. My kind of weird superstition about the bird songs, and if the birds suddenly stop, that's a real, real noteworthy event. Something's going on. There's something they consider to be a threat there. Is that a threat to you? That's a good question. You could be what they consider to be a threat. You could be what they are seeing as a threat. But if you've been there a while and they're happy with you and they have no difficulty with you and that kind of thing, start looking around. There might be something else. There could be a cougar. There could be a bear. There could be a pack of wild dogs. There could be a wild pig. It could be a number of things around you. More than likely, it's other people. I've heard rumor. I've never actually personally witnessed this, so I can't say yay or nay on this one. But I've heard rumor that just before an earthquake, dogs will start barking, animals will act strangely, horses, goats will start running in circles, things like that. I don't know for sure. That's something I'll put under the category of superstition. Some of you out there may or may not have seen this. If you have, great. Jump on Facebook. Leave us a message. Just search for Rangers, R4NGER5A, the number 2, the letter Z, A to Z. Leave us a message. Let us know. Because if nothing else, it's just kind of interesting to know. These little tricks, these sort of old woodsman kind of tricks are really handy to have. And sometimes knowing ahead of time something's coming makes it easier to be prepared for it. If you know that, especially like if you're out in the desert and you know there's rain coming, you really need to get up off the nice flat sandy area, because if you look on the map, that flat sandy area is blue. The reason it's blue is that's going to become a river in a few minutes. If you're ever camping in the desert and you discover a nice big wide flat sandy long area, it looks like a great spot to set up. It's not. Just because you didn't see rain because it didn't rain where you are doesn't mean you're not going to get hit by a flash flood 4 or 5 hours after it rained somewhere else. Out around Tucson, for example, several people get killed a year doing exactly this. And, you know, that's not a whole lot of fun. Being swept along by a wall of mud and slammed into rocks and boulders and things like that just doesn't seem like a real fun thing to do. So, you know, probably skip over that, eh? But back to the bird songs and such. You'll also start hearing the bird song change as the temperature is about to drop. I have not been able to fully identify that bird song here yet. Because I don't really... I just kind of became aware of it not more than a year or two ago. I don't really pay that close of attention. If you're adept at this sort of thing, you can actually get to a point where you know what the temperature is going to do ahead of time. A neighbor of mine says the bird sings something else when it's going to start getting really warm. I don't know. I can't say for sure on that one. I'm going to call that one superstition, too. But I'm going to take a quick break here and refill my big old cup of water. Get a drink before I end up gagging on spit or something other exciting like that so you can laugh at me. And I'll be back here in just one sec. And I'm back. I just hit pause, so it seemed like I was gone. Or it may not have seemed like I was gone, but I was. So, at any rate, how I do things isn't terribly critical. We'll cover that in a future episode. I'm going to go through and explain all the idiosyncrasies of how we do this show and how you can do your own show and have your own podcast and have your own 7 people to listen to you once or twice and go, yep, okay, well, you didn't do too bad on that episode. And we'll go from there. Let's see, superstitions. We've covered out a few of the simple kind of positive ones. We'll come up into the negative ones, which is the biggest part of this show down the road, and debunk a few, point out a few, and so on and so forth. But let's first talk on what superstition kind of is. In many cases, it's a belief based on observation that may or may not be accurate. A lot of superstitions are passed down through families, through friends, through social circles. And we may not even recognize them as superstitions anymore. You always probably think of superstition as something like step on a crack, break your mother's back, don't break a mirror, it brings 7 years bad luck, and so on and so forth. Now, some of those come from scientific observation, and the people that pass them down don't necessarily tell you why you do or don't do this. It's just passed down. There was an analogy some years ago, the four monkeys, I can't remember the specifics on this, and I really should have looked this up ahead of time because I knew I was going to use this and I didn't. So you're going to have to do some Googling and find this. There was a group of monkeys in a lab. The four monkeys were in a cage, and off one section of the cage was a raised platform up a few steps that had initially no ill effects. And the first group of monkeys put in were left in there and let to explore the cage for a while until they got used to it and got comfortable. And then later, the scientists added... And scientist here is really loosely defined. I think they just wanted to have an experiment to torture monkeys to see what would happen. Not really torture, but, you know, just do weird things to monkeys. The scientists put food, whatever fruit it was they happened to like, up on the platform and sprayed them with a hose every time they got near it. So if they step out of that step, they get sprayed. And pretty soon the monkeys realized, you know what, we'll just wait for the food to get handed into us through the cage because, yeah, I'm not real keen on getting hosed. So, we'll wait. We're good. And one monkey was removed and a new monkey was put in. The new monkey saw that platform with the fruit on it and ran for it. The other three monkeys grabbed him and beat the snot out of him. They basically taught him, don't go there. If you go there, bad things happen. Although that monkey had never been hosed, they stopped hosing the new monkey, and I think that, if I remember correctly, they stopped hosing all the monkeys. I can speak English, I swear. I know I can, I'm just not doing it well today. So that particular monkey was not ever hosed, if I remember correctly, and slowly they were all replaced one by one. Some generations later, this superstition is still passed down to the monkeys, even though no monkey for generations had been sprayed with a hose. And I don't mean generations as in generations of life cycles. I mean generations as in they've been traded out for different monkeys that haven't been through this experience. It was taught through society. And in some ways, we really are the 12th generation of monkeys in the room. There's a lot of things we've been handed down we don't know the history of. We don't know the background of. We don't know why. And I had an example a few minutes ago, and you know what? I'm going to have to pause this and go back and listen because I can't remember. This is why I should keep notes and don't. Oh, of course. I should be able to remember that. Breaking a mirror is 7 years bad luck. This comes from an era when mirrors were very expensive and most houses only had one. When you had a lesser staff amongst you, whether it be a hired cleaning staff or family or what have you, servants, possibly even slaves, I'm not 100% sure where this came from exactly. I should have looked this one up too, and I didn't. They decided there had to be a way to tell people that, you know, this was really expensive. And telling people it's really expensive, don't break it, doesn't necessarily work on people. Sometimes you'll break it just to spite, you know, you'll get kids who'll do this. They'll be told to do chores, and they'll do them wrong just to spite you because they don't really want to do them. Kind of hoping that you will do them for them or get someone else to do them or pawn them off on their sister or what have you. However, if you tell them that if you break that, something awful will happen, particularly if they can't disprove that, then it starts to be a little more toothy threat. So if you break that mirror, that very expensive, very rare mirror, 7 years of bad luck will befall you for that particular act. Now, let's look at modern times. There's a lot of things in modern times that I think we could probably put under that same heading. We're told a lot of things. I'm not going to give you any specific examples. You can come up with your own. I'm pretty sure our listeners are clever this way. I'm relatively sure if you turn on the TV and watch it for a little while, just spin through the channels, don't have to watch anything specific, I'm pretty sure you're going to find a couple. I think, in some ways, this false superstition could be a different way of looking at the fear culture we've come to be in. As we've said in previous episodes time and time again, fear is the mind killer. A lot of superstitions are about fear. By keeping people afraid, it keeps them from doing something. If I break that object, I will be unlucky. Bad things will befall me for 7 years. If I vote for this candidate, bad things will befall our country for 4 years, 6 years. If I don't buy that product, people won't love me. If I don't buy that product, I won't be the in crowd. Do those all seem somehow similar? They're not exactly the same argument. They're not exactly the same superstition, but I would put them in the same category. Are they all superstitions? No, they are most certainly not. But if they enter the popular culture, if they end up being accepted as being a fact, the 7 years bad luck for breaking a mirror, for example, it will carry on, and it will have a lasting effect that is not necessarily a positive effect. An awful lot of superstitions really are kind of a fear-based negative effect. There are so many different things. This is one of those categories that I initially had sat down and written out a whole big long list. And I thought about going through and naming specific ones and breaking them down and saying, all right, here's where this comes from, so on and so forth. I could bore you for hours with this. I really could. It's not very difficult to do. Instead, I'd rather think you I would rather kind of steer you towards a more critical thinking approach. If you're told something like, well, let's use the mirror, for example. If you're told that breaking a mirror will bring you 7 years bad luck, apply your critical thinking skills to it. How can a physical object... Now, okay, granted, some of the folks that this was aimed at may not have understood how this thing worked. It kind of did look like magic to some extent to some people. Sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic for most people. Until you've broken open a computer and looked at the inside of it and see how the pieces all work, to some people it seems like magic. You know, I've honestly run into people who expect when you break open a computer there's some sort of, you know, weird little creature inside of there, or you know, who knows. Kind of like in Men in Black, if you've seen the film Men in Black, when the alien is dying and he takes the faceplate off and there's this tiny little guy running this giant robot body. They really kind of expect to see something like that, or you know, some sort of weird mystical symbol inside of it or something. They don't realize it's just it's a machine. Some people's opinion of their car is nearly magic. They've never actually opened the hood and stood there and looked at the engine, or if they have, they have no concept of what they're staring at. It's fairly easy to overcome these things. With your computer, with your car, this goes back to our tech support episode. If you don't understand something, sit down in front of your machine and find out about it. The same goes with superstition. And we're going to jump around here quite a bit because that's sort of, you know, the running without notes, flying by the seat of my pants thing that I'm doing, which, for better or worse, does make it somewhat more funny to listen to because you can hear me careening and crashing off my walls of thought here. But at the same time, also makes it a bit harder to follow. So if you're playing the home game, yeah, we're all over the board tonight. Sit down. The first place to go is always Snopes.com. I wouldn't say always. But a good first place to go is Snopes.com. Modern superstition comes in a number of forms. Almost all of them seem to have been in email forwards in the last 10 years. Now it's starting to change some. We're seeing links on Facebook. We're seeing links through Google+, other social media sites, Twitter, so on and so forth. Some of those superstitions are things like, if you don't forward this email to 10 people, some kid in you know, Malaysia is going to get set on fire. Or if you do forward this email, everybody that forwards this is going to get a free computer or a free car or something like that. Do those sound reasonable to you? Do those sound feasible to you? Well, no. No. What's happening there is that foundation of superstition we have as a people, as a Western culture, is being co-opted, adopted, and misused by marketing, by scammers, by people who may not necessarily have your best interest in mind. I sort of did this weird little dramatic voice drop thing there accidentally. That just happens. I have no explanation. At least it was in English. Yeah, you know. Hey, I'm getting better about being more fun to listen to than Stereo Instructions books on tapes, though, aren't I? And I'm not saying quite as much as I was in the first episode. If you go back and listen to that, that was horrible. I apologize for that. You know, and since we're taking a little aside here, I want to thank you for taking the time to listen. This is a free podcast. Feel free to share it. If you want to burn it to CD and stick it in your car, hand it to a friend, hand it to a guy on the bus, hand it to your dog. Feel free. I'm good with that. Slap all the episodes on a USB stick, put it in a slingshot, and throw it in a lake. I don't care. You are free to do with it as you like. Just so long as you're not making money off it, I don't care what you do with it. Everything on the Rangers site, Rangers, yet again, r4nger5.com, is the same kind of deal. Spread it, share it. The more we spread, the more information we spread amongst ourselves, the more we learn, the more we know, the more we're able to do, the less we're afraid of, the less that something else, some outside influence has control over us. And hopefully, that's not good. The compy has locked up. I don't know if we're still recording or not. This will be an interesting episode. And the more we spread, the more we share, the less we're afraid, the less we're superstitious of things. The less things we have to really concern ourselves with. And that's not necessarily just things like, you know, weird email forwards. It's not necessarily just the king of Namibia would like you to open a bank account for him. For if you only send him your bank account number, he'll deposit $4 million. It goes to everything. And it goes back to some of our early episodes. I think we discussed things like car kits and things like that. And I actually came across one at the dollar store not too long ago that was just an absolute piece of crap. At some point, I might start actually naming names on some of the ones that are just a ripoff. I was in the dollar store wandering around. I don't even remember what I was there looking for. Not part of the story. And I came across something, and my initial thought was, hey, this is kind of cool. This, you know, this sort of goes toward what I was saying in Rangers. And then I started looking and realized, you know what? There is nothing in this particular car kit that was of any real value in an emergency whatsoever. It had a tiny and pathetic jack in it that was rated for, I believe, 400 and something pounds. Now, granted, because a car is sitting on four wheels, the car's total weight is not focused on one specific spot. But when you start picking the car up, a great deal more of the car's weight is focused in that spot and the opposite tires. 400 pounds is not a safe jack, and I really personally don't want to be, you know, have my head and my hands up underneath this thing and discover it lets go. And then I realized the travel in the jack was only about 6 inches. So they're selling people an object in a kit, and the kit was about $50, that was potentially dangerous and certainly not useful. Which brings us back to one of the old Rangers adages of what does it do and how well does it do it? That applies to your beliefs like superstition. That applies to your equipment, your kit, things like your car kit, things like your house stores, your equipment in the house, and everything else. Apply that concept to even to your play. Let's say you play guitar, and you want to go buy a new guitar. And boy, that one looks really cool. It's got flashing lights and spinning propellers and all kinds of stuff, but it plays like crap. And there's that kind of plain one over there in the corner that doesn't look really fancy and doesn't really have a fancy paint job or anything, but boy, it plays really nice. Now, if you're just going to stand there with it and look pretty, maybe the one with the propellers and the flashing lights is the way to go. But if you actually want to play guitar, what does it do? How well does it do it? And that, you know, take that with you. Use that wherever you can. Use that every day. When you're at the store, look at equipment at the store. Look at you're going to buy. I went to buy dish soap. I did this. That was why I was at the dollar store. I went to buy dish soap. There was the name brand, the famous brand that you've seen commercials for, and it was $4 a bottle. And I looked at the ingredients, and they were exactly the same as the dollar store brand. So I bought two bottles of that, twice as much for half the price. So, you know, Well, let's see. We're coming up toward the halfway point. I've rambled substantially, so I'm going to have to actually go find my notes, because otherwise we're going to have a really confusing second half. We've had Poesis and Chain Monkey underneath us here, and we've got two tracks from The Culprits coming up. All these can be found on AloneTone.com. Search for The Culprits. The tracks I'm going to play today are not up yet, but they're coming back up soon. So here we go.
Waking abruptly, the dream falls about me. My history finds me again in the night. Sense of foreboding, the net is enclosing. There's blood on my conscience, can't stand in the light. Live with my guilty conscience. I fight to keep control. Hide away so they can't see it. Out in the open, they must see I'm broken. My every encounter a threat to betray. Locked in a prison by my own decision. The walls that surround me get closer each day. Live with my guilty conscience. I fight to keep control. Way so they can't see into my soul.
Give it up to me. I look for you, but
what I can do. Analyze every intention. What's the point? By estimation, locked inside a black black cell, caught them in a silent cell. There's nothing more to life than this. There's nothing more to life.
You know what? I really should have checked my notes. Turns out on this one, I was off on all kinds of different stuff. If nothing else, we're trying not to give you incorrect data through Rangers A to Z. And I kind of misled you at the beginning. And I'm sure that, you know, a couple of my listeners out there have been screaming at me the first half of the show on what superstition is and is not. Superstition is a belief or notion not based on reason or knowledge. And I had made the statement incorrectly that it was based on some sort of scientific observation. That's not the case. Not based on reason or knowledge of an ominous significance of a particular thing, a circumstance, something of that nature. Sometimes also a system or collection of beliefs or an act based on the belief. What I was doing earlier was basically sort of a subset thing where it's more of an act based on beliefs, and in many cases those beliefs actually have some scientific foundation, but they're not connected any longer. And a lot of superstitions, those really wouldn't be superstitions, those would be something else that I don't have the word for at the moment. But a lot of superstitions, well, really true superstitions, are not based on any real scientific evidence whatsoever. And quite often the term is also used for any blindly accepted belief or notion. Which we kind of more or less tapped on inadvertently early on there. The origin appears to be somewhere in late Middle English, 1375 to 1425 roughly. If I remember correctly, it shows up... Friday the 13th specifically shows up first in the Canterbury Tales. But I can't remember off the top of my head which story that's in. I just remember being in there somewhere. But, at any rate, Friday the 13th specifically is one of those days that a lot of people are kind of weirded out by. A lot of people in my family have actually been married on Friday the 13th, which in some cases worked and some didn't. We're kind of an odd family. Some families are like this, you know. Usually people who get married on Friday the 13th aspire to owning a hearse. I'd love to. I think they're kind of neat cars, and you know, they scare normal people and so on and so forth. So why not, you know? Plus, they carry a lot of stuff. Back in my band days, we used to have one that we used as our band car, and that big electric table that rolls out. You just load all your gear on top of that. When you get where you're going, you open the back door, hit the button, there it all is. Nice and easy. Yeah, it was kind of stylish, you know. Plus, they rode really good. The number 13 is something there's a lot of superstitions about. It's considered an unlucky number in some areas. And I think that probably comes from the biblical Last Supper and the Norse myth of 13 people at a table, the belief that if 13 people dine at a single table, one will die before the night is out. And I'm sure that there's a number of other little things along the way. There are different cultural beliefs depending on where you're from, who you're connected to. If I remember correctly from my neighbors around the corner, in Latin countries, Tuesday the 13th is considered to be unlucky. And if I remember correctly from my Italian friends, Friday the 17th is considered to be unlucky, whereas 13 is considered a lucky number in Italy and the south of France and some other places. Interestingly, the Dutch Center for Insurance Statistics have released a couple of studies over the years that fewer accidents typically are reported and fewer fires are typically reported in the Netherlands on the 13th because people are more careful or tend to stay home, that sort of thing. Also of note, this is 2012. I believe we have three Friday the 13th in 2012, if I'm not mistaken. It's very possible the first occurrence of Friday the 13th being considered bad luck goes back to October 13th, 1307. King Philip of France was really trying to get a hold of a lot of the property and the political power that the Knights Templar had accrued over the years. And Philip had them arrested, and eventually most of them were tortured or imprisoned for a great deal of time. Some were executed, so on and so forth. But he basically seized power. And if you want to do some research on that, that's pretty easy to find online. Jump online, do some searching, and that kind of stuff. It's really kind of an interesting little read about the political fight between Philip and the Knights Templar. But I think that may have been where it first enters the literary culture. I believe Chaucer may have been referring back to that. I know that it comes up again in a couple of modern historical fantasy fiction portrayed as fact novels. Da Vinci Code, I think, has it in there. And it also was, if I remember correctly, April 13th, 1970. I was a kid, I remember when this happened. An oxygen tank aboard the Apollo 13 exploded. If you've ever seen the film, it kind of goes through and gives you a good feel for that. Honestly, for NASA, I would say that not so much Friday the 13th is bad luck as just launching in January is bad luck. That's when a lot of the really tragic things have happened to them. But that's neither here nor there. And there's an awful lot of superstition when you start dealing with pilots and astronauts and things like that. I knew a couple of commercial pilots who have since retired that believed in certain portents. If you saw certain things, you did not fly that day. You called in sick, you didn't go to work, what have you. Or if you did fly, you went through a number of kind of little good luck rituals. Throwing salt over the shoulder, turning a circle to the left three times, so on and so forth. Things that have no scientific basis whatsoever, things that are really kind of a classic superstition, you know. The number 13. There's a lot of really interesting things about the number 13. It's the sixth prime number. It's the smallest, if I remember how to say this correctly, it's Irnip or Irmip. I can't remember off the top of my head. At any rate, the term escapes me right now exactly. I'd have to look it up. The term is a prime number, which is a different prime number when reversed. It's one of the three Wilson primes, if I remember. It's been a long time since I was in college and this stuff was there. I believe it's a Fibonacci number. I believe a standard torus can be sliced into 13 pieces with just three plain cuts, if I remember rightly. I really should be looking this stuff up because it would just be easier to deal with. I do know from some friends of mine that the number 13 in Judaism has a lot of ramifications. It's the age at which a boy is considered mature and therefore is given a bar mitzvah, becoming a full member of the faith, to be qualified as a member of the faith, basically. 13 attributes of mercy. I can't remember all the different things. So if you start looking at any of these sort of superstitious things, the Ace of Spades, so on and so forth, you'll find a lot of really interesting beliefs and such. Some of them actually have some scientific basis and wouldn't be technically superstitions. I still cannot come up with what the heck that word is. And I will just as soon as I stop tape, too, I'm sure of it. But then again, some of them will be considered, you know, outright, straight up, you know, folk belief kind of stuff. Let's tangent off there for a minute. I tangent a lot. That happens. Folk belief. There's a lot of things that still carry down. When we have another inauguration, watch the inauguration. There's a great deal of folk belief in that. Again, I should have done my research and didn't. There's the concept of placing one's hand on a holy book to swear in into an office, and more often than not, you'll see that happen with the oath of office. It doesn't always happen, but it does occasionally. It does happen more often than not. Sometimes you'll see things like someone taking an oath crossing their fingers, which basically nullifies a promise in folk belief. There's an awful lot of different superstition that goes through our everyday life. You see all kinds of things. And I'm trying to talk and check my meters because the machine is being funky tonight. But I'll tell you what, when it comes to superstitions, ask people about their computers. There are some superstitions about computers that, you know, if it isn't working right, you need to do this to it. Well, why? I don't know, it just helps. Does it really help? I knew someone who, some years ago, back around 2001 or so, when Windows XP had come out, and they were quite used to the old way of Windows doing things, and when they switched over to a new system, and this happens with a lot of people, when they switch over to a new system, they're kind of confused by it. And they sort of build up a culture of superstition based on no fact, based on no real observation, but they believe it works, and therefore, in their head, it does, sort of like Dumbo's magic feather. This individual was absolutely certain that whenever it blue screened, it was because the mouse needed cleaning. And so she would take the mouse ball out and clean the mouse ball, and that would make it better. And she'd restart the machine, of course, after cleaning the mouse ball. She had to turn the machine off to clean the mouse because, you know, there could be dangerous electricity in there. Well, there's not. It's a couple of the old ball mouse. If you've never had the experience of having one, some of the younger folks probably haven't. There's a rubberized steel ball inside the mouse with two rollers, and the rollers control a set of sensors that tell where it's at. And she was of the belief that the mouse ball was causing the crash, so she would take the mouse apart and clean the mouse. So needless to say, she didn't have any problems with her mouse jumping on her screen because the ball wasn't reading true, but that certainly wasn't what the problem was. There was other things going on. And when I got called in to do tech support on that one, that was kind of fun. Because she was absolutely certain that if a certain CD was not in the machine when it started up, it wouldn't work right. At some point, it was going to crash. That was another one of those kind of weird superstitions. And I pointed out that it wasn't looking at the drive. As a matter of fact, it turned out, in the long run, there were multiple drives in it, and only one drive was connected. They all had power, but only one of them actually had a ribbon cable to it. But her superstitious belief was, if that specific CD, which I think was an AOL CD, if you don't remember those, count yourself lucky, that if that CD wasn't in there, that was it. That was how it worked. If that CD was not in there, she wouldn't be able to get on the internet. Well, that CD was in a drive that wasn't even connected. So this was very much a Dumbo's Magic Feather sort of situation. And you will run into those with almost everything, with cars, with just about every piece of mechanical equipment. When I was a kid, we had a car that if you weren't superstitious, it would try and make you. It had a number of wiring shorts. 1972 Buick LeSabre, red with a black vinyl top. Big land barge of a car. You could probably land a small aircraft on its hood. And the car just had issues. It had a lot of weirdness going on in it. And so there was no real reason or rhyme behind it. But occasionally the wipers would come on. The wire was short out and the somewhere between the switch and the wipers and the wipers would just cut the wiper motor and the wiper would just come on for no apparent reason. And so my mother started making up these sort of bizarre superstitions to tell other people that wanted to borrow the car. And as a child, I had no idea why. You know, I was told, don't lie to people, and now you're making up lies and things like that. Now I realize it was both a humor thing and a protective thing, because the more weird superstitions the car had, the less people wanted to borrow it. Because it was such a spacious vehicle, it was really easy to use to move with. Nobody had a truck in our circle of friends that time, and somebody would want to move a bunch of boxes or what have you, and they'd come get the LeSabre because it was just a monster. It had a huge trunk. A good friend of mine would refer to it as a three Vito trunk. He's an Italian fellow. And the old joke was you could fit three dead mobsters in the trunk if you needed to. So we'd take the three Vito trunk car over and load it up with what have you and take it down to the bake sale at the school or whatnot. And so she would make up these kind of weird superstitions about the car, that if you didn't do certain kind of bizarre acts and things like that, the car wouldn't work for you or odd things would happen, because we knew it had a number of weird electrical quirks in it. It would sort of make these superstitions seem plausible. And I don't recall who ended up buying the car, but it was someone who thought the superstitions were just humorous as snot and continued to carry them on. And the car lasted well into the mid-late 80s and had been sold at least once more. And we happened to run into the new owner of it somewhere in town one day and ask about the car. And he was telling us all these weird superstitions about the car that carried down with it, and more had been added to it. He had gone so far as to put a little kind of like a Buddha statue on the dashboard and was absolutely adamant that the car got better gas mileage as long as the Buddha statue was facing forward so he could see where it was going. But if you turned him around, the car didn't get as good a gas mileage. Clearly a superstition. You know, if Buddha can't see where he's going, it doesn't matter. He's made of plastic. But nonetheless, that belief was part of the mythology of the car. So with all of that in hand, this might seem sort of disjointed from our normal fare of things, you know, how to fix things in everyday life. But in the long run, it's not. I need to probably fill you in on something here. I'm of mixed ancestry. Some of that is American Indian. If you ever spend a great deal of time with American Indians, particularly Northeastern Indians where I'm from, you'll discover they tell you stories that have absolutely nothing to do with the real lesson they're teaching you quite often. And it's up to you to figure them out. The concepts of Indian time, Indian stories, things like that are sort of interesting to try and explain to people. And this is one of those episodes that's sort of an Indian story on Indian time. It's all scattered, it's all over the place, it doesn't seem to be going anywhere in specific. But we'll come back to this one eventually. And there'll be references back to this one that will connect into other things. As we get toward the end here, take with you, basically, whenever you come across something, particularly in buying things like your car kit, like your house kit, like supplies, that sort of thing, to take care of yourself every day, take care of your family every day, is there a superstition or is there a marketing spin on this? Is there some sort of belief of causation, some sort of supernatural causation? You know, don't buy dowsing rods to go find water. That's not going to help. Some people swear they work. Some people say they don't. So far, scientifically, they haven't been able to be proven, so I'd say they don't. Although I have seen people that can make them work. The question is, do they have some sort of subconscious ability? And we'll get to that later. That's a whole other set of things. Sixth senses and things like that. That's a whole other series of shows down the road a ways. But take with you basically that anything that seems too good to be true probably is, needs to be researched, needs to be cross-checked. Cross-check everything I say, because as was proven in this episode, I'm often wrong. I went off the whole first half in the wrong dang direction because I hadn't bothered to actually look at my notes and note that, yep, superstition is belief in some sort of paranormal causality. And I was way off base. I apologize for that. I didn't mean to mislead anyone. It wasn't intentional. So with that, I thank you for joining us. I thank you for spending your time with us. I hope you got a laugh at my expense, if nothing else. Hopefully there was something in there you can use. Feel free to share this episode. If you get a chance, stop by rantmedia.ca. If you got a few dollars to spare, it'd be great if you could click on the donate tab and help Sumerian keep Rant Radio on the air, keep things going. If you get a chance, stop by rangers.com. That's R4NGER5.com. See what sorts of other stuff we got up there. If you do some digging around on the right-hand side there, there's a collection of links, including back episodes of this show. And sometimes the show episodes show up before they even get aired on Rant, so you can sometimes get things ahead of time. Hopefully this was a fairly light episode, kind of entertaining. Some of the future ones get a lot heavier. We're going to delve into some much deeper, much more serious topics in the future. So I'm going to try and get out a few more of these kind of light, fun ones. Hopefully you can get a few laughs and things like that and kind of pre-brace yourself for what's coming up. We're gonna touch on some somewhat heavier everyday emergency things that hopefully don't happen to anyone ever. But that said, jump on alonetone.com. You can get the track underneath of this, which is Sean OTD or Chain Monkey theme. And we're going to close out with one of my favorite tracks from The Culprits, which is going back up on Alone Tone soon, I hope. Skin.
Steps of no consequence. The flea bites, the pinpricks on a giant. The wounds are just skin deep, just a cut, a scrape, a drop of blood. They tell me they'll heal in a day, but I'm running out of skin. Words like snow, tiny blades of ice, that'll cut and melt. They wash away my armor. The wounds are just skin deep, just a cut, a scrape, a drop of blood. They tell me they'll heal in a day, but I'm running out of skin.